You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The BT and Sal Show brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. We started with the Mets. We'll get back to them. 888-808-1019 is the number. Sal is off today. I know he's got a Surfside appearance tomorrow, him and Rec. And then I'm off until after Labor Day and then basically bunker down until Thanksgiving, where we get deep in the trenches, Jets, Giants, hopefully long Yankee and Met runs. But I got the golf bug back. I'm playing tomorrow. I'm playing Friday. I haven't yet told my wife, but I'm sure I'm going to play again before Tuesday. I come back. And, yeah, it's almost like that skull shot from Francesa woke me up, inspired me to play a little bit more. I can't wait. Weather's going to be awesome. I was looking at, like, the 10-day advance forecast. Every day, it's like San Diego. You know, no 90s, you know, pretty much between 75 or 74 and 82, 83, sunny. No precipitation, so we got a nice run here of awesome weather. All right, I'm going to get back to the phones in a minute. Let me talk a little MVP here. Now, first of all, like, the MVP has become so distorted over the years. Like, it used to be such a simple thing. It really did. And it's funny, when I was younger, they had this award, obviously MVP, but they also gave out two awards. One was to the MVP, and then one was to the most outstanding player. Now, this is, you know, I'm talking like, you know, first grade through eighth grade. However they distinguished that, they came up with that on their own. But, like, the MVP award has been hijacked in recent years. Like, it's basically become who's got the best stats. And I understand that. But to me, it should be a little bit deeper and a little bit more intelligent than that, really. So I always start any MVP conversation. This obviously is about Judge and Cal Raleigh, who hit number 50 last night. To me, if you subtract, I start with a basic math equation. If you subtract player X from team Y, what's the result? Like, what? It's that simple. And if you subtract Cal Raleigh from Seattle, what's the result? If you subtract Aaron Judge from the Yankees, what's the result? Well, to get there, I start a very basic point. Like, all right, well, from a team perspective, what's the record? They're basically identical. Yanks are 71-60, and they're 5.5 out. Seattle's 71-61. Now, they're only 1.5 out. So they basically have the same exact record. Yankees, much more real estate to make up in the division. You want to just throw this just to keep it moving. In terms of war, if you're curious, Judge is at 6.9. Cal Raleigh's at 5.9. So what advantage Judge here? Now, you look at, and there's other things like how the season, however this goes the next 30 games, that's who's going to win the award, and that's who should win the award. Like, Aaron Judge does not have this wrapped up, nor should Aaron Judge have this wrapped up. Raleigh right now is first in home runs, Judge is fourth. Now, Judge missed a little bit of time, I got it. So it's first for Raleigh, Judge four. Aaron's eighth in ribbies, Cal Raleigh is second, and obviously Judge is still going bonkers with the OPS. He's first. And Cal Raleigh is third. So if you look at that, if you were to do it like in an aggregate manner, Cal Raleigh is doing more things at a higher level right now than Aaron Judge outside of batting average, which many of you dismiss anyway. And I don't dismiss it as much. So it's kind of ironic. I'm almost debating myself here because I generally do try to validate batting average more than you, even though it's clearly an antiquated number for a lot of you. But like if you, and you've, I've taken a lot of calls, a lot of tweets, like, batting average, what are you, a dinosaur? But then you can't use that to then defend Judge as with that being the sole parameter. And right now, that's really the only thing that Aaron Judge is doing better. I just told you, Raleigh's got more home runs, and he's got more RBIs. Now, the average is big time in favor of Judge by about 70 points. That's a big number. But that's also going down fast. All right, so the next benchmark here, the next tool of evaluation, like, what are they doing recently here? Well, in the last 30 days, neither one's doing a whole lot, though more power for Raleigh. The last 30 days, this, of course, coincides with Aaron getting hurt. Aaron's batting .210 with a .783 OPS. It is crazy, though. Like, even when Judge is basically invisible for Judge, his OPS is still almost .800. So let's not, you know, lose complete context here. But he's not doing much, and he's got 3 home runs in the last 30 days. Of course, he was on the IL. Now, Cal Raleigh is only hitting 2 points higher, 212, but he's got 7 more home runs, and he also has a higher OPS. So, like, right now, guys, think about this. You project this out and take off your Yankee cap, take off your New York bias, which for some of you is impossible, I get, but many of you are able to do this. If I told you before the start of the season that an American League catcher would hit 61 home runs, which is what he's on pace for right now, he would lead the league in RBIs, and his team would be a playoff team, wouldn't you almost say no matter what Judge does, that guy's going to get the MVP and that he probably should? Like, you look at some of their other players, all right, Julio Rodriguez, all right, whatever. But if you look at the drop, like, there's – Yankees have a lot of guys with OPSs over 8. Outside of Cal Raleigh, Seattle has 1. Can you make the case that just this year – I don't mean organizationally, historically, this year – can you make the case that Cal Raleigh is more valuable to Seattle than Aaron Judge has been to the Yankees? You can make that case. And if you don't believe that, I'm sorry, I think you're missing the mark. Now, to say definitively that it's absolutely Cal Raleigh, I think that that's a little bit early. But, like, I mean, it was foregone conclusion. Just ship it to the Bronx. It's Judge's award. No, it's not. It's not. And it shouldn't be. Like, he's not preordained. I know that Altuve stole one from him a couple of years ago by cheating. But you're looking at a catcher who just hit bomb number 50. 50. And they're a good team. It's not like hollow numbers on a team that's going nowhere. You know, I don't know if Seattle's going to win the World Series, but I don't think the Yankees are either. But they're both going to go to the postseason. He's been phenomenal. It's been great. It's really the best story in baseball. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Obviously, a lot of Met conversation. Good win. The Yentos heating up. Jim is in Warren on the Fan. What up, Jim?
BT, enjoy the show. I listen every day.
Fantastic, Jimmy. Nice.
My son wants to make a quick Met point, but we're huge Met fans, but I actually want to talk about the Yankees. But my Met point is talking about swagger and energy. He believes Jesse Winker brings that. Sliding head first, slamming the helmet down, getting everybody pumped up. What do you think?
Well, how old is your son?
13.
All right, so he's old enough to understand this. Tell him that you got to play to actually bring some swagger.
He's sitting right next to me.
Well, then, what's his name? What's the young man's name?
James.
All right, James, appreciate you calling and listening with your dad here. Hopefully you're a ball player as well. But, like, Winker's got to play to bring some swag. You can't bring it from the bench.
Yeah, and he's always hurt, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I don't want to go so far as to say that your son is wrong. I would just maybe school him a little bit, Daddy, once we hang up and you guys could have another conversation about that.
Yeah, my Yankee point, I know you're a big Yankee fan.
Yeah.
What bothers me is they beat up on the Twins and the Nationals and the Cardinals
White Sox.
And the Rays.
Yeah.
But when they play the Astros and the Red Sox,
Tigers.
They can't win.
I know.
That's got to be frustrating.
Well, did you hear my open yesterday, Jim? Thanks for the call, and thanks to your little guy in the car, too. Reminds me of when I used to be in the car. Now, my dad never called the Fan, but he used to listen all the time. But just a quick aside, last week was radio day. Hoff was out for this.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I meant to tell the story. These are two things, two memories I've had, and I don't think that either one was with WFAN, but it was sports radio. I remember I was in the McDonald's drive-thru in 1986, coming back from a CYO game, right by the old library and whatever. Brandon, not far from Brandon and Carr. And Ron Rowan hits the baseline jump shot against Syracuse. And then Dwayne the Pearl Washington goes coast to coast. And Walt DeBerry swats him. Like, I remember hearing that in the car. And then I remember hearing, I believe it was the same year, because Patrick was 85 and then 86, which was the same year as St. John's. I remember being in the Burger King on Flatbush Avenue near the old amusement park, hearing the Knicks drafting Kenny Skywalker. I think that was fifth overall. So I appreciate a little guy being in the car with Pops. But, I mean, yeah, and Winker's got, he's a good cheerleader, but that's all he really does. He doesn't really play. 888-808-1019. How about, let me get Chris in Long Valley. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, BT, how you doing, man?
Good, Chris.
Good. Hey, just wanted to quickly mention, for me, two biggest things that came out of last night for the Mets were, A, the fact that after Senga gave you four innings at 93 pitches, that bullpen came into that game and was almost perfect for five innings. All they did was hit a guy and walk a guy.
Yep.
And that was huge. But for me, the best part of last night was the fact that when Ryan Helsley came off the field after his clean inning, every single man in that dugout greeted him with a smile, a hug, or a high five, because they all knew exactly what that inning meant to him.
Yep.
And that was such a huge team thing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to listen.
Well, I noticed that too, Chris. Good observation. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, now let's not ignore the fact that a couple of balls were bullets off that Ryan Helsley gave up. But that last pitch, I think that was a slider. And his slider was, and I was trying to explain it to my son last night. Like, generally, sliders from a righty, you're going to go right to left. Now, you might have a little vertical, but his is more, it's almost, I don't know, it's a very interesting pitch. It almost goes more like a curveball. Like, his goes a little vertical. Slider is generally horizontal. He's got a nasty slide when it's on. And his last pitch he threw, I believe it was 102. I remember saying, wow, 102. Yeah, I mean, listen, you got Ryan Helsley for a reason. He's filthy. But he had issues with St. Louis this year. You know, for a guy who throws that hard, he's straight as a string. And there's a reason why guys hit him. And he has been nothing short of awful. Not like he's been erratic or he's been eh. He has been horrendous as a New York Met. But if last night's the start of him regaining some footing and becoming the pitcher that they thought he could become, and his teammates kind of feeling that moment and the fans as well, like, you never know where it starts. You really don't. You know, it's funny. Like, so I mentioned golf before. Not that I'm obviously not good, but I even noticed with me, like, sometimes, like, you get on a roll at the least like, you just don't expect it. Like, you hit a, say if you're having an awful round. I know this happens to me a lot. You know, a couple of doubles, maybe a seven, you know, maybe a par here and there, scrounge one out, but I'm just not playing well. And then I'll hit, like, I don't know, just a 13-footer for bogey. All right, you know, could have been a double. Then suddenly you look up and you par two out of three holes. Like, you don't know where it's going to come from. It's not like, wow, like last night was the moment that Helsley officially arrived as a Met. Nobody's sitting here saying, but it's got to start somewhere. You got to have humble beginnings. And if he joins the party, that could change a lot. Let me get Nyron in Manhattan. What's up, Nyron? Nyron, you there, buddy? Okay. Nyron is not there. That is his bad. Elvis in Orange, Connecticut. Elvis.
Hey, BT.
What's
BT, up? You were a ball player. You were a ball player, right?
Loosely translated, right? Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I played a little bit. Yep.
Let me ask you something. The Met pitching staff, what do you think is wrong with these guys?
Well, which ones?
I know exactly what's wrong with them.
Well, hold on.
All four, besides McLean and Peterson. And actually the bullpen, too.
Okay. Well, that's a very...
What do you think is wrong with these guys?
I'm going to give you an answer, but I want to narrow it down. So put McLean aside, put Peterson aside. I'm going to put even Holmes aside. His issue is length, but he's been fine. I think that Manaea and Senga have two very different issues. I think Senga needs to challenge people more. Nibbles too much.
I agree. You know, I was at the game last night. This guy is the most aggravating pitcher to
he
watch.
Is. I can't stand watching him pitch. I really can't.
Yeah, he first of all, you're a ball player. What's the most important pitch a pitcher
strike
can
one.
That's right. The Met pitchers are always behind in the count. And as usual, they lead the league in walks again. If you look at these guys, that's why they can't get out of the fifth inning. Every one of these guys are always behind in the count. And that's the name of the game for pitchers. I mean, I was a pitcher. You get behind in the count, you're good. Most of the time, okay? You watch these box scores, you look at the good pitchers. When they don't walk anybody, they pitch a good game. The Mets got to put the ball over the plate. It's very aggravating.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think
Manoa. It's that simple.
Yeah, I agree with that. Certainly pertaining to Senga. Yeah, it's funny. Like, you look at, you know, young players, whether it's in the minors or high college, high school, and certainly way before that, young kids. Like, to me, because you don't know how big kid's going to be, how fast, or what position he's going to ultimately settle on. To me, though, and of course, bat speed's part of the equation, but if you can differentiate between a ball and a strike, and it's such a simple, think about what I just said. Differentiate between a ball and a strike. Like, you would think, who the hell can't do that? Yeah, when you're on TV, we could all do that. You know, when we're watching on TV, when we're sitting on the couch, when we're laying in bed watching a late game, oh, yeah, that's outside. Don't swing. What are you swinging at? How do you swing at that? Well, you swing at that because it looks like a strike, and you don't have that ability to decipher, you know, where it's going to finish. Therefore, you don't really have the ability to decipher what a ball and a strike is, the difference. And if you don't have that from a hitter, but this ties into the call about the pitchers, if you don't have that as a hitter, well, now you're not going 1-0, 2-0, you know, 2-1, 3-0, 3-1. And you're not getting a hitter's count. And from a pitcher's perspective, if, you know, you have to throw strike one. Because now you could throw stuff in the dirt. You could sail something up high. Now you could set them up. When you fall behind 1-0, 2-0, now it's like you got to throw a strike. But you can't throw too good of a strike because he's going to whack it 430. I don't care who it is. They're going to hit it over the fence if they know it's coming. So it's a whole thing that's all interconnected. But you start with strike one. And Bisanga, he's just got to attack more. Like, I can't stand running backs that dance or, you know, basketball, like guards in the NBA that they have a lane and they just pull up. And they, like, Mikal Bridges does, even though he's a good mid-range shooter, take it to the rack a little bit more. Finish. Finish with some toughness, some strength, you know? Just finish. Challenge. And I feel like Senga just does not do that at all. And he's got nasty stuff. I mean, he's not 99, but he's 95. And he's got one of the, he's got a filthy secondary pitch. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal here. I am surprised, and it's okay. I mean, I'm not looking to start trouble, but I'm surprised no Yankee fans have pushed back on what I said about Cal Raleigh. Like, right now, to me, the award's going towards Seattle. I'm not saying it's been fully rerouted, and it's definitely getting FedEx there. But Judge is going the wrong way. Cal Raleigh's on pace for 61. They both have basically the same record as a team. So team influence is kind of a push. I'm surprised about that.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.